Thank you, guys. You guys feeling okay? Blood's pumping. You guys are getting excited. You guys are probably wondering why we have the game. The reason why we have the game is so that we can have fun, because church is fun and youth ministry is fun. But the title of tonight's message is called United. Everyone say United on three. One, two, three.
United.
United. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, what it looks like when you're united in the church family. All right? Everybody, eyes up on me right here. We're going to be talking about God's word, and we're going to be talking about how together as a church family, from middle school through high school through college and whatever age bracket that you're in, when you're part of God's house, you are united to his spiritual family. And we had a fun game, right? Five people participated, and there was only one winner. And the interesting thing about how you guys grow up and how we all grow up is we're actually conditioned to see one another as competition, right? We look at our schooling. Who's the smartest in your school? We look at the clothes that we have. Who has the best clothes? We look at popularity. Who's the most popular? Who has the most friends? Who has the most views and followers on their social media feed? Right? We look at the parties that are going to start happening this summer because of graduation and birthdays. And immediately we're competing ourselves with who's going to have the best grad party or whose birthday party is the best and who's the most exciting and the most this and the most that. And all throughout our life, from the moment that we're born, whether you're an athlete or you're a student or you're a sibling or you're a this or you're a that, you're expected to compete in order to have a place in being worthy and having purpose and having meaning. And the reality is, we want you guys to exceed in school. We want you to exceed in sports. We want you to be involved in school. We want you to be blessed in the things that you have and the things that you do. But we can't look at one another to your left, to your right, in your G2s, on your campuses, your teammates, your siblings, your friends, and your family. You can't see them as competition. Because if you see them as competition, you'll also kind of see them as your enemy. But in God's house, as a brother, as a sister, as a friend, as a leader, as a member, you're not each other's competition. You're each other's support. You're each other's encouragement. You're each other's friend that's going to spur one another on to do the great things that God has for you. Like, you guys are going to be amazing doctors and amazing businessmen and amazing coaches. We want to see you grow up in our college ministry and go and do great things. But we're here to support you as a family, and you need to see each other as family as well. Amen? So that's what tonight's message is going to be. It's going to be a very simple message, but it's going to be a really good one. And I'd like us to open up the message with prayer. So let's do that. Lord, we thank you so much that this is a mighty generation. God, we pray that you will focus us. God, we know that many of us here have come from busy days on campus or in school, or we're even thinking about what we're going to be doing after this, or the movies that we're going to be watching this weekend, or the graduations that we're not at. But I pray, God, that in this moment that you will speak to every young person here and that they will focus. God, not focus on me, not focus on their pastors and leaders here, but focus on your word, because your word is truth. And when we sit on your word, when we digest your word, when we invite it into our life, God, you do great things in us so that we can do great things through us for your kingdom. God, we thank you that here we see elementary and middle school and high school students. We see aunties and uncles and college students just all here together. And thank you that that's a picture of your church. Your church spans all generations, supporting and caring for one another so that we can fulfill our God-given purpose here on earth. And we pray that tonight we'll have fun, but that we'll also take away from your beautiful and your amazing word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Number one in your note says this: God calls us to live in unity as a spiritual family. John 8, 35 to 36 says this: now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever, or a daughter, son or daughter, right? So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. How many of us are thankful to be part of a spiritual family? This church, Grace Bible Church, your G2s on campus. You know, when I first came to Grace Bible Church, we were meeting at Momilani Elementary, which is all the way up on the hill right outside of Pearl City High School. And I came into this cafeteria. It was hot. It was stink. There was like flies by the trash bins, which are right outside of the doors. There was a lot of humidity. There was a lot of noise because the Pearl City band was like playing or practicing on the fields. And when I first came to this church, I was like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen as a freshman in high school. And I remember thinking to myself, why do they raise their hands? Why do they sing these songs? Why are they so happy? Why is everyone here asking what my name is and what my age was and what high school I go to? And they're just trying to get to know me. And the reason why it was so weird, because I didn't know what family was supposed to look like or family was supposed to be like, because my family wasn't in the best shape. And I grew up thinking that when I go home, it's a war. Right? When I go home, I'm going to be judged. And my parents tried their best, and I love my parents. And for another day, I can share about how God restored my relationships with my parents. But when I first came to this church, I had no idea what family was because I didn't get to experience and see it firsthand. And I know a lot of us here, we kind of like have maybe not the best relationships with our family members or our friends or our teammates or our classmates. And we come to a setting like this, and we're like, this is a little strange and this is a little weird. But what drew me back every time I came to this church, every week on a Friday night at 7:30 p.m., just like you guys, was I felt God's love here. And I saw these adults, these peers, these mentors and leaders, and they cared about me. And that's the amazing thing about God's family is we care. And we want to see you do great things in and through your life. But first, we need to remember that if you're set free through Christ, family is yours. You're here. You're supposed to be here. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm glad you're here. And turn to your other neighbor, just smile at them because we're happy they're here too. Give them a big smile. Smiles are good. Show your grills. Let's go. All right. Next scripture. Everyone say 1 Corinthians. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 13 says this. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles. Remember, Jews or Gentiles, we'll go back to that in a little bit. But what the scripture is telling us, and what we'll see later on in the scripture if you continue to read through 1 Corinthians 12, is everybody has a place in God's house. I'm going to say amen. That's a good thing. How many of us love our body? We love our bodies, right? Yes? Okay, just a thought. Okay, just a thought. What if one day you could never fart ever again? And your digestive system stopped working and you had to carry this big ball of air in your stomach and diaphragm everywhere you went. And you can't burp either, okay? You can't burp, you can't fart, you can't do any of that. What if it stopped functioning, right? Tell me, what is your guys' favorite food? What's your favorite food? We got some sushi. What else? Pizza. I heard pasta. What else? I heard adobo. I hear some adobo. Okay, I like adobo. Rice. What? Just rice? Just rice? Ray likes bagoong. Or balut. Okay. Right on. What if your nose couldn't work anymore and you couldn't smell the foods that you love? Or your taste buds didn't work anymore and you couldn't taste the foods that you like. Wouldn't that not be good? Right? What if you couldn't taste adobo anymore? Wouldn't that be bad? What if you couldn't get your spicy tuna don from Sushi Bay? Oh my gosh, I don't know what I would do. But every part in its body, in your body, God designed to have a purpose so that your body could function. And if God's body is his church, and this place right here is his body and his people, every single one of you has a place in God's house and a purpose and a meaning to fulfill in your household, on your campus, and when you grow up in college and in your life and your careers to advance his kingdom. Everyone say advance. Everyone say impact. Everyone say my God. Your God, my God, wants us to advance and impact the world around us. But the only way that we can do it is if every single one of you, no matter how popular you are, or no matter how smart you are, or no matter what part of the island you're from, plays its part in getting people to know who Jesus is. This place should be filled with your classmates, your teachers, your parents. This place should be filled. And I know we had a graduation today at Campbell. Go Sabres! We love Sabres. My girlfriend graduated from Campbell, so Campbell's cool. I'm cool with Campbell. But here's the thing that I need to ask all of us. Do we see ourselves as worthy to be part of God's kingdom? to have a place in it. Because if you're a son that was set free or a daughter that's set free, guess what? You have a plan and purpose, and God can use you because you're part of his body. Everyone say amen. Let's go back to this this thing in 1 Corinthians. It says Jews or Gentiles. Everyone say Jews or Gentiles. So how many of us know in high school, middle school, elementary, there's cliques, right? There's all of the different groups of people. You have the athletes. You have the band members. Don't say nerds. This isn't the place to call people nerds. Don't say that. We have the people that like anime, right? People like Naruto. What else we got? We got people that like K-pop. Okay, some people. All throughout high school, there's all of these different groups. And what was happening when the book of 1 Corinthians was written was there was two groups of people that didn't think that they could get along. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't get along with you. All right? And these two groups of people, everyone say this, were called the Jews. Jews. Everyone say Jews. Jews. And the other group was the Gentiles. Say Gentiles. Gentiles. And now everyone go, shh. And everyone say focus. Everyone say, eyes on Henrik. Okay. And then say focus again. Focus. Okay. The reason why we need to talk about the Jews and the Gentiles was because the Jews were basically the believers. They were the Christians. And the Gentiles were the ones that weren't supposed to know God. They were too bad. They were too this. They were too that. And the Jews and the Gentiles didn't get along. But what we see in 1 Corinthians, when the writer of that book was saying, hey, everyone's supposed to have a place in the body, he leaves it by saying, even the Jews and even the Gentiles. So even the two people that make the most sense of not being able to get along, because the emos aren't supposed to get along with the jocks, and the band members aren't supposed to get along with the K-pop people, and the people that hang out at that building aren't supposed to go hang out at that building because this is my building, but that's not your building. Right? What we see in the Bible is the writer is saying everyone has a place so that God can be made known. Everyone say known. Everyone say get along. Everyone say united. And I want to talk to you about how I was in high school. I was the nerd, okay? So all of you guys teasing the nerds, that was me. I'm going to find you after. I'm going to find you after. So I was a nerd. I was in AP honors classes. I always studied. I tried to do like good in school. I kind of did my hair, you know, because that's like a thing, right? I wore collared shirts. I was kind of a prep nerd, that kind of thing. That was me in high school. And there was this other person in high school who was the exact opposite, right? Everyone say boo. So this guy was loud and he was annoying and he would get in the grill of people's lives and bother them. Who goes to Pro City High School? Raise your hands. All right, Chargers, love the Chargers. So if you go to Pearl City High School, there's all of these buildings, right? They go up to four floors, and after you graduate, you have really strong legs, okay? Because you're walking up hills all the time, or stairs. And this person would yell from the top of AB building to the other side of AB building, and he would say, bruh! What? And I would be walking around with my backpack like a good little boy that I was, and I'd be like, what's up with this guy? He's so loud. And his name was Henrik Rizan. So everyone say, I'm the Jew, and that's the Gentile. Sorry. But the reason why I bring this up was because when we were in high school, we shouldn't have gotten along. In fact, we didn't. We didn't even talk in high school. But when we came to church, and we became part of God's family, and we became part of God's house, this guy became one of my best friends. And every time I felt like I couldn't continue on in my faith, every time I had questions about this or about that, Henrik was right there alongside of me. I want to show you guys what Henrik used to look like. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What is that? Just saying. Yeah, that's what I thought, too, every time I saw him. But I want to show you one of the moments I got to experience with Henrik. Put up that next photo. Aww. That's not your mom. This was at Henrik and Chloe's wedding. And you know, one of the best things that I got to witness as Henrik's friend, and maybe his best friend, that's what he said, was this moment. And you know, when I was in high school, I never thought I'd be close with this person. I never thought that he would pray for me. I never thought he would support me. I never thought that he would be the person that I would talk about all the things that I was going through in my life and in my walk. But 8 years later, this happened. And don't you want to be able to experience the highlights of your life standing alongside your best friends? Your best friends come from this church because this church cares, this church believes, and this church will not stop calling out the greatness in your life. And let me just throw out that other photo because I like pictures of me too. I was his best man, and that was a photo that we took right before he got married. And I want to let you guys know, you might look at people in your campus or in your family, your teammates and this and that, and you may see that guy is a Gentile. He is not supposed to know God. If I ever put that on Henrik, I wouldn't have my best friend. God wants to use every single person in your campus for his glory, no matter what background or interest that they have, because this is a family and we're united as one. Everyone say amen. Real practical. I'm going to sit down because I'm tired. Okay. We're going to look at three things that we learned together as a spiritual family. So there's blanks in your notes. Welcome back to period one. And you're going to have to write in your notes. So everyone say three. We're going to look at three things that you do together as a church. Number one in your notes is this. We worship together. How many of us love to worship? We love to be able to encounter God together, right? It's such a good time. And when I first came to the youth ministry, this is what I was a part of. Let's put up that first photo. Look at that. Everyone say, aw. Aw. So this was back up at Momilani Elementary. And the reason why I want to share this with you was this was my family that I got to worship together with on Friday nights, but also worship with in our campus at Pearl City High School and all of the different places that we were. These were my friends. This was my family. This was my leaders and pastors, and they were amazing people. And I got to lead G2s. They were called Victory Clubs before. We got a couple of those. Look at that. Yeah, there's Jason Rasa, and I was actually like 130 pounds in that. I'm like 80 pounds heavier now, so it's different. There's another photo. I don't know if you guys can see some of the leaders that were there, but that was my that was the family that I worshipped with. This was my church. These were my brothers, my leaders. And then when I got into the college ministry, the worship continued. Let's look at that next photo. That was my first grace group that I led as a college student. Yeah, love the shaka. That was a good thing. And finally, I want to show another moment for you guys. This is a moment that I got to be commissioned as the college pastor of this church. And the reason why I want to show this to you guys isn't so that you guys think that it's about me. But the reason why this picture to me means a lot is this picture is my spiritual family. These are the people that have sown into my life. Like Pastor Norman was like the father that I never had, that always encouraged me and accepted me and encouraged me and even challenged me, you know, to be better and to fulfill my God-given purpose. And Pastor Billy Lyle, who is our executive pastor, he used to be the college pastor when I was a student. He was like the guy I wanted to be like. I was like, that guy's cool. I want to be like him, you know. And finally, Pastor Kalai, he was the previous college and young adults pastor. The reason why he means a lot to me was he was like the older brother that I never had. And the reason why this picture means a lot to me is because it reminds me not about the day that I was commissioned, but the people behind me throughout this whole process of growing up in this church. I've had amazing aunties and uncles and brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ and this and that and everything. They never gave up on me. And we're never going to give up on you. So when you're done in this ministry in high school, you better come to our ministry in college. One, because you guys are cool. Another reason is because we're cool. And let's all just be cool together. Amen. So when you're part of a spiritual family, you worship together. Number two is you grow together. And I just want to share a few things that I grew in because I came to Grace Bible Church and I got part of this spiritual family. In this church, I learned how to read my Bible because that book is intimidating, okay? Like there's no pictures, there's no color, there's no cool words except for Jesus, right? Everything else doesn't make sense except for Jesus. But my G2 coach, his name was Ben Yamashiro, he taught me how to read my Bible. We would read our Bibles together before school started. at Pearl City, and I learned how to read because of him. I learned how to pray because of Pastor Camille. How many of us know Pastor Camille? Anyone here know her? Yo, she's crazy, okay? And not in a bad way. She is so filled with the Holy Spirit and because of prayer and how much she loves it, that if you're around her, she can know what you're going through, tell you that she needs to talk to you, spend 3 minutes with you, and the next thing you know, you're crying because she touched every little sensitive thing in your spirit, because she loves all of the little sons and daughters of this church. That was Pastor Camille. I remember before we would help stuff bulletins in our old office, and then she would fit 20 people in a van. We don't do that anymore, okay? But we did. And she would take us from Midas, which is right down the street, all the way to Momilani Elementary. And as she's driving all of these youth up to the high school, what is she telling us in that? She's telling us how to pray. We would see accidents on the road, and she's like, everyone, stretch forth your hands over here, and let's pray. And then we would all do it. And I'd be like in the trunk, and I'd be like, okay, I'll do that. And then we would all learn how to pray because Auntie Camille, Pastor Camille, taught us how to pray. I learned how to reach out because of Pastor Coach. He's a coach, but he's also one of our pastors. And he would kind of handpick one or two of us during our G2. And he would make us walk around campus and talk to people about our faith. It's like the most scariest thing I've ever did. But we did it. And last but not least, I learned how to be a leader and a disciple because of Pastor Kiomo. That was my youth pastor. That was my Chad Udani. That was my Henrik Razan. And he was such an amazing pastor. And I got to learn. What am I telling all of this to you guys about? The only reason why I can say I'm here and I love God and I kind of understand what all of this is about and fulfilling my purpose throughout all of the seasons of my life is because I've been part of an amazing spiritual family that has never given up on me. And you have an amazing youth team that loves you, that cares about you, and wants every single one of you to graduate, go to prom, go to winter ball, do all of these homecoming, all of those things that you guys want to do and do. We want to celebrate with you. Because that's what spiritual family does. Amen? And lastly, number three in your notes, we worship together, we grow together, and finally, we go together. Everyone say, go. We need to reach our campus, okay? Our campus is broken. You have classmates, you have teachers, you have faculty members, you have teammates, and even the ones that irritate you the most are probably the ones that need Jesus the most too. While I've been in, when I was in high school ministry, I saw teachers, I've seen Henrik, I've seen everybody come to know who Jesus is, or anyone. Why? Because spiritual family goes together. And when I was a senior in high school, our G2, which had all of these different kinds of people, we had jocks, we had nerds, we had smart people, which was me. I'm not that smart. Anyways, we had all of these different people from different backgrounds, Jews and Gentiles, and guess what we did our senior year? We wanted to go out with a bang. We didn't want to just graduate. We wanted to leave a legacy on this campus. And one of the things that we decided to do together was bless the custodians and the janitors on campus. And a lot of times what they go through is unseen and unwelcome, you know? And I don't know if you guys throw, like, stuff on the ground on your campus. I don't know if you vandalize stuff or you just treat your campus poorly. But there's people that actually have to clean up after you. And they do a lot. And they work really hard to provide for their families. And, you know, like, you're on campus and God just really changed our heart and broke our heart for these people. And we came together as a G2 and we said, hey, we want to do something to bless the custodians and the janitors and share about God's love with them. And my senior year, we all decided, about 15 of us, to make gift baskets. And I want to share this with you guys. We can just roll through the photos, Vian. So we got over at my house. And then we started putting together these lays. We started putting together these gift baskets with cookies that we baked, right? We started wrapping them up with purple ribbon because we went to Pearl City High School. And then the next day, as a G2, as a spiritual family, with the blessings of our coaches and our pastors, we started to walk around campus. And I have a quick video of that that I want to show you guys.
We say hi.
This was like 10 years ago. Okay. It's a long time ago.
That's Jay.
The video was really bad then.
Jay, what are we doing?
We're having, we're giving the janitors something to show our appreciation.
Okay.
Right? And then let's throw up the photos of the janitors that we were able to bless the custodians. And we would go to all of the custodians as they were working on campus, and we gave them the lay, we gave them the basket, and then we prayed with them, right? We also got to ride in the little Jeep thing. It was pretty neat. And then I think that's the last photo that I got. I think, yep. The reason why I want to share this with you guys is when you guys work together, not separately, when you see each other as brothers and sisters, not as enemies and rivals, you guys can do great things on your campus. And you can do great things beyond the place that you meet for G2. You can do great things beyond this building that you meet. When you know who God is, you need to take that love to people around us. And that's the things that you guys can do. And I know that you guys are out of school, so maybe this isn't as relevant to some of you guys anymore. Everyone look up at me. Please focus. We need to focus when it comes to God's word. Not me, but God's word. I'm going to wait until everyone's looking. Look up at me. Thanks, guys. The reason why we care about you is because people cared for us. The reason why we want to empower you is because people empowered us. The reason why that we want to read our Bibles and pray with you, the reason why we have these services, the reasons why we have these G2s, the reasons why we tell you to invite your family members, your your classmates and your teammates and your teachers and the people that God's placed on your heart is because together we can reach them with God's love and their lives will be radically changed and transformed. And these are the things that this world needs to see. You know, like what they say about this generation is we're so insensitive, especially you folks, when it comes to harsh things or negative things like shootings and violence and this and that, because you guys have actually been the generation that has grown up with it. How many of you guys were born in 2001 and on? Or from 2001 on, you've been born after that year. It's a lot of us here. You can put down your hands. When I was I was an eighth grader in 2001. And what happened that year was the World Trade Center attack and the terrorism attacks. And you know what began to happen year after year? It's just more shootings, more violence, less of God in school, less of God in business, less of God in our households. And we wonder why the world is the way that it is. I know some of you guys, like, maybe you guys don't like watching the news. Maybe it's because it's just too depressing. But when you know who God is, and when you know your spiritual family, and you hold on to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you let your leaders and pastors and coaches speak to you guys and encourage you guys and teach you guys and pray with you guys what it is to follow God, the world immediately gets brighter. There's hope again. Everyone look up. Keep those eyes up. I don't know what you're going through or what you see on the day-to-day, but there's still hope for you. And there will always be hope for you because our God is good. Everyone say, our God is good. God is so good. We're going to go into a time of response where we get to just let this word marinate in our soul. Can I just ask you folks to worship God and to listen to what He wants to speak to you and know that this is a safe place because we care about you. Amen?